The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, Jesus said to Simon, the son of John. I suspect a wry smile crossed Jesus' face when he spoke those words to the goofy fisherman just standing there, forgetting to introduce himself to the Messiah. Of course, Peter had no clue about Jesus' true identity, and that's precisely the problem that Jesus is revealing with Peter's name change. Jesus wasn't complimenting Simon's steadfastness by renaming him Peter, which means rock. Jesus wasn't telling him that he would be the rock upon which the church is built. I'm sorry, Pope Leo, that's not quite right. Nor was Jesus telling Peter that he warranted a Bob Seger song for being as long-lasting and dependable as a Chevy pickup truck. Remember that? Like a rock. No, Jesus was calling Simon dense, slow to understand, clueless. According to Jesus, if Peter had a driver's license, the identification photo would be of a boulder. Now, lest we be too hard on Peter, his brother Andrew and the other guy with him weren't faring much better. They had been members of John the Baptizer's group, which now numbered exactly three. Gone were the glory days of hundreds waiting to be baptized. Just John the preacher, so he doesn't really count, Andrew, and one other. And given the baptizer's propensity for deferral, Andrew and his pal decided to find the guy John kept deferring to. And when they found this guy, Jesus, the first word out of their mouth was "Rabbi." That means they wanted a teacher instead of a savior. They wanted an instructor, a sage, a dispenser of wisdom and law. And it is that they thought Jesus to be, in spite of hearing John repeatedly call Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And speaking of John the Baptizer, he confessed twice that he was clueless. "I myself did not know him," John says. How interesting. John knew himself to be called by the Holy Spirit to prepare the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah preached. John had devoted his entire life to baptizing sinners in the name of the coming Savior. John was even Jesus' cousin, leaping in his mother Elizabeth's womb when Mary told her about the miraculous conception. Still, John says, I did not know him. That is, until God chose to reveal himself. He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, is how John said it. Now, what are we to conclude from what we've heard about Peter, Andrew and Paul, and John the Baptizer? The answer is simply this. Finding the Lamb of God is not the result of searching, discovery, or recognition. Nor is the salvation he gives the result of choosing. How can we choose what we don't know? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul tells us? How can we call on the name of the Lord if we've not heard? That means we too are clueless and therefore made passive, waiting for God to choose us. We are made to wait until God finds us. And believe me, it is a holy sight to behold when the Savior is on your trail. He'll tear heaven and earth apart like a woman looking for a lost coin to find you. He'll come running with reckless abandon like a shepherd looking for a lost stray to save you. Well, I have good news for you this morning. Today, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, has caught up with you. Where is he? There, right there, in the font, where his promise to never leave you or forsake you is preached into the baptismal waters. Where is he? Here, at this altar rail, where the promise of mercy is preached into the bread and wine, so that it becomes his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Where is he? Here, at this pulpit, and the words coming out of my big mouth that say to you that the Lamb of God has taken your sin away and you are forgiven now, forgiven without condition by the Father for the sake of Christ. Now, you've seen and heard that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is for you. Amen.